The contents of this podcast episode may be triggering and emotionally challenging to some audiences due to a discussion around suicide, self-harm, depression, and/or a reference to other mental health disorders. Continue at your own discretion. Welcome to the To Be Honest podcast. Today, I am talking to Stephen He. In his spare time, he loves teaching kids how to swim and spending some time with friends. Today on the podcast, we'll hear Stephen talk about his experience with autism and how to be an advocate for others who have autism. So welcome to the podcast, Stephen.
Thank you very much. Happy to be here, Ervy.
Thanks for being here. I'm looking forward to our conversation. Before we start, I like to ask every guest, to be honest, how are you doing today?
To be honest, I'm doing pretty well. School is starting very soon, so a little bit nervous about that. But other than that, I'm pushing through.
Yeah, good. I'm glad. Hopefully you're relaxed from the weekend, starting the week off, you know, feeling relaxed and refreshed. But yeah, I'd love to start talking about your background, about your experience with autism, especially when you were first diagnosed, and how did that make you feel?
Yeah, so I was first diagnosed in third grade. It was experience in itself. Beforehand, I had a lot of behavior issues. I was throwing desks, not knowing why people were doing it, punching teachers, things like that. And a matter of fact, it got so bad that the school actually had to call police officers to the school. As a believer, you know, of my faith, you know, I fully believe that it was under the grace of God. But also it was because of my mom. My mom advocated for me, made sure that I did what it wants. And from that process, they wanted to kick me out. I was evaluated by different school psychologists, therapists, everything like that, and no one could come up with a term. My mom, out of desperation, emailed my pediatrician at the time, and my pediatrician, there's no way that your son has autism. He has no way that he's dead. And finally, we decided to get evaluated, and the first two times when my mom filled out the consent form to get evaluated, the evaluator refused to evaluate me. And it wasn't like a bad thing. And to all those people who are advocates of autism or in special education law or anything like that, you know, it wasn't like they were denying me to test them. It was more like, hey, you know, your son doesn't have it. Why put your son through an exam or through a test when I'm pretty sure he doesn't need it? And so finally, we asked the school to fill it out. School filled it out. My mom was literally begging on her knees, asking this evaluator, look, I don't know what I'm going to do. Please just test him. So we tested him, and I was diagnosed with autism. For those who don't know, autism is a spectrum disorder. So there's the lower side of the spectrum and then there's a higher end of the spectrum. The lower end of the spectrum is for people who generally have social skills problems. They're nonverbal, who can't talk very well, who have social deficits because autism is a developmental, for lack of a better word, disorder. It's a developmental disorder. And I was diagnosed with the higher end of it, which is Asperger's syndrome. So that means I just struggle with one subject, have troubles comprehending with social skills. But thankfully, with a lot of therapy and a lot of time commitment, I was able to overcome that. In terms of how did it make me feel, I was in third grade. So I didn't really know how it made me feel. You know, I think I was a kid who growing up didn't really know how to express my feelings. All I knew that the way I expressed them was literally throwing desks, pushing people off, flipping people off, things like that. But now I am getting slightly a little bit better using my words a little bit, to express me how I feel. But honestly, for my parents, I think it was a miracle in itself, because I was diagnosed. So
do you know if there was a reason why they didn't think that you had autism? Like, at that time, was it just not as commonly diagnosed? Or, yeah, what do you think the reason was for that?
You know, autism growing, you know, we know autism so much more now than the beforehand. And I'm going to say something very controversial right now. But vaccines, there's no studies that shows vaccine causes autism. I know there's a guy who's a doctor who said vaccine did cause autism, but look where he is at right now. He's disbarred by a medical community. He lost his license. He's pretty much lost all his credibility. So vaccines doesn't cause autism. I understand. I take that back. I can see and understand from a parent perspective when you get vaccines and it changes your son and you think it's autism. I understand that. However, countless studies have shown that vaccines, there's no correlation between a vaccine causing autism. Now, people will say that, oh, we're getting diagnosing autism is going on an all-time rise and we're diagnosing and vaccines are going up. Well, just because there's a causation doesn't mean there's a correlation, right? But I fully believe that we're understanding autism so much more. And so going back to your question, Avery, I think, you know, we understand autism much better now than 10, 15, 20 years ago. And because of that reason, doctors, evaluators have a better understanding of, okay, hey, this person doesn't have autism. We're not going to evaluate. Now, there is a huge backlog of people who needed to get tested. Good problem, meaning that a lot of people are getting tested for it, meaning a lot more people are getting more aware of it. Bad problem, saying we have a huge backlog of cases, meaning people who has it are not getting the accommodations and the support that they need for it. And I know that's one of your questions, Avery, so I'm going to talk about that later, but people are not getting the support it needed. And it's not right. It's not right.
It's so interesting. And it's like a double-edged sword almost. Like, it's great that people are getting the diagnosis that they need, but the fact that there aren't the resources available is very problematic. So,
amen.
Yeah, we'll definitely talk about that later. But I'm curious, as you kind of grew up, was it easy to come to terms with your diagnosis? Did you understand, like, what having autism meant for you?
When I was in fourth, fifth, sixth grade, I met an awesome principal. Shout out to you, Mr. Sherman. But he has helped me and my mom and my family so much. He believed in me. He advocated for me. He was a voice to me and my mom. He was a voice to my mom when there was nothing. He was patient with me. He knew what I needed. And God bless him, because we need more people like him in our education system, people who believe in autism. And because of him, and another shout out, Mrs. Parks, who's a special ed teacher in my seventh grade and eighth grade years, she advocated for me even more. And so to kind of answer your question, I didn't really know how to come to terms with it until when I was in third, fourth grade, you know? And I could kind of talk about this a little bit later, but I struggle a lot, you know, is it who I am? Is it a part of me, or it doesn't define me, you know? And now, especially a Christian, it challenged that idea even more. And I wrestle with it pretty much almost every day. But I can kind of talk about that a little bit more on a later podcast.
I'm curious, because you have mentioned that teachers and principals have been kind of like a key part of your success, or your, you know, in your development years. So I'm curious, what were some of those, what were those people doing for you, and how did they contribute to your success in school?
They believed in me. They believed the best in me. I'm going to get a little emotional now, because they advocated for me. When I was in elementary school, they just want to kick me out. They just want to kick me out and no reason. And I just read a book called Lost in School. And it's this idea that if we don't treat the root problems of the behavioral issues, then we're not going to happen. If we're just having symptoms, if you're treating the symptoms, it's not going to help, right? it may help in a little bit, but unless you treat the root problem, it's not going to help you. Just like with any medical diagnosis, cancer. If you don't treat the root of the cancer, it's not going to help you. But when I was in seventh grade, gosh, I loved her. She advocated for me. And she didn't want me to put me on a behavioral plan. And the behavioral plan was essentially was, you know, this is the three steps. If he violate this, he's going to get expelled. It was basically a legal reason for the school district to expel me. But my special ed teacher hands were tied. The school psychologist hands were tied. But what they did do was they made every dang possible problem and made sure that we didn't give the school district a reason to expel me. I had great principals. I had great vice principal who helped me, believed in me, advocated for me, who you can tell who really believed in students. And so if you want to be a supporter of a kid with autism or any family with autism, advocate for them, listen to them.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's so important that we have those, like you've mentioned before, like resources in place, like the people in schools that have the background and the knowledge to actually assist families like yours when, you know, when it's needed, because you can, it feels like the book says, like lost in school, you can get so lost when there aren't those resources that you need those, even if it's just like one person to kind of like be the advocate, be the person that stands up for you. So thank you for sharing your experience. I know it's kind of tough, but I appreciate it. And I know on a similar sensitive topic that you also experienced bullying. So I was wondering if you could kind of touch on what that was like and how that kind of played into your diagnosis.
You know, I see kids with autism literally get bullied all because they talk different, all because they couldn't talk. And that kind of semi happened to me a little bit. I don't know. Well, this is audio only, but I don't know, but I have big ears. I was making fun of big ears. It wasn't fun. It definitely ruined my mental health a lot. And you know, it kind of drove me a little bit to the suicidal thoughts. And I wanted to harm myself a lot. And it put me in this really bad health scare. And when I was in high school, it got pretty bad. Not necessarily the bullying aspect of it, but just the social pressure of just studying well, knowing what I can do and studying and trying to balance these two things out. It was really hard. But yeah, that's kind of how that bullying hit a part of me a little bit.
I was wondering if you could touch on your experience in high school and the lack of resources that you experienced during that time.
Yeah. So just to clarify, I went to a private school. The resources at the private schools are severely limited than the resources at a public school. Public school, they have more services, more IEP teams, more interpreters, things like that. But a private school has a little bit less services. But I went to a private school because I felt like that was better than the local high school that I went to. No knock, no shade to the high school or anything like that. It was just a better fit for me. So the resources were good. You know, I had a separate room for testing. I had extra time on testing. Eventually I had an audio, read the test audibly to me. That helped a lot with my anxiety. You know, things like that. But their resources were severely, you know, was a little bit limited sometimes. But I fully believe that they did the best they could, So
it sounds like there's quite a bit that you'd like to change within the education system in regards to accommodations and special education. So I was wondering if you could share a few of those things that you hope will change.
Yeah. I went to a community college, Evergreen Community College, just over the hill, Montgomery Hill. I was in the final exam. Granted, it's a final exam. So people are crowded. But people were typing on the computers. And it was just one small room. I literally asked the front desk person, hey, why is that person there? Because I'm trying to focus. And she said, that's the only space we got. That's the only space we got. And the person who's in charge of that is trying. Is trying. And I believe it. You know, you would think, Avery, that because you're a special needs student, because of special needs student, they should be put, their needs should be put on there first. But unfortunately, they're oftentimes put to the last. I've seen that happen. You know, when I was in school, there's so much corruption in leadership. People who should not be leaders. You know, there's so much corruption. And if there's a parent that's so desperate, they're going to do almost anything to help their kid. So I'll change. My huge project is change the accommodations. It's to change how we view kids with autism. How it's not a disease. It's a part of them.
I know with your passion, you're going to make a lot of change, though.
Fingers crossed. Fingers crossed. Yeah. Lord help us all.
So what do you want other people to know about having autism?
It's not a disease. We're humans. Police officers. Any police officer listen to this, please. I understand that you got a job to do. I understand when a kid is fidgeting, you think it's from a drug overdose or they're high. I understand that. But please, for the love of God, just like you, police officers, they're just as, kids with autism are just as human as you are. That weapon you carry on your belt or whatever you carry is a life or a death. I understand that you want to protect your life. You have a responsibility to protect your life and others' people's around you. I understand that. But you got a gun. You got a weapon that can kill someone and send someone in a body bag. So please, choose your words carefully. One of my biggest things that I want to change is to do trainings with police departments and tell them how to interact with kids with autism.
On a similar note, I was wondering if you could kind of touch on, there's a debate between the wording when referring to someone who has autism or saying that someone is autistic. So I was wondering if you could kind of touch on like what that debate is and what like the politically correct way to address someone with autism is.
So a person with autism is saying that it's not who you are. It's not who you are, which I agree. But someone who's autistic suggests that's who they are. That's a part of them. And so there's this huge debate. Should we use first person language or first gender language?
Okay. So it sounds like it kind of depends on the person, maybe. Like if you feel like it's more a part of who you are, then you would say like someone who is autistic. But if it's,
yeah,
it doesn't define a person, so
yeah, no, and you're,
do you mind clarifying that, just like,
yeah, if- yeah, no, absolutely, and you hit the nail right on the head, you know, it really does depend on the person, how they like to call with that person, how that person likes to be called, you know, sometimes person likes to be, oh, I'm autistic, oh, I'm a person with autism, you know, yeah, it really depends on that person. And any person who are in the autism community will have different views on that. So again, going back to the beginning, ask. I promise you, we're not that scary. Ask, gosh darn it.
So how can others be an advocate for autism?
Share their stories. If you see someone's getting bullied because of their autism or because of how they speak, stand up for that person. And people will say, oh, it's not my business. It is your business. If you believe in equality, of course, all people, if you believe that everyone, despite how they live or how they behave or how they should be treated with equal right and should be treated like a human, then yeah, it is your business. It is your business to advocate for someone, stand up for someone for that reason. Literally, advocate for your teachers, principal, anyone who's in the education staff. Believe in them. And if you don't believe in kids with autism, then I, as nicely as I can say this, please leave. I don't want you in our school system. I understand that kids with autism is hard. It's hard. It's tiring. You got the paperwork to do. One of the biggest burnout rates in the field of education is special ed. I understand that. I do. I understand that. But you can take breaks in the middle. I'm all for taking breaks. I'm all for preventive burnout. But if you're going into special ed just to make the money, or just because it's a job, or it's a ladder stool for something that you want to go for later, please don't do it. There are families out there who need you to believe in them. My mom, my family needed you. And thankfully, I had amazing people who advocated for me.
I do want to talk a little bit about how faith has helped you in your journey, and kind of like when you found faith and what that journey was like for you.
I was introduced to the Christian faith by my family because they wanted me to have a good role model. When I was in ninth grade, I was first introduced to it. Didn't have a good taste of it. It wasn't until my junior year of high school when I first started to experience it. As you know, Avery, I was in a really bad spot mentally. Suicidal thoughts, depression, not knowing, finding my worth in things that shouldn't be. I was depressed. And whatever you think of, Avery, I probably tried it. And it did give me fulfillment, but only temporary. It wasn't until I realized that I was such in a low place, I was willing to do anything, that I put my faith on the cross in Jesus. And when I put that faith in Jesus and fully believed in that, all my mental health was pretty much gone. Suicidal thoughts, gone. Depression, gone. Anxiety, pretty much gone. Do I still have those things? Yes, absolutely. But the difference now is that I have hope in him that can do that. So that's how my faith has helped me. Now, I also wanted to say to the person that has been hurt by the church because of your mental health or anything, or you go to a church that debunks mental health and say you need to pray more, I am so sorry. Pastors are not doctors. Yes, I fully believe that the God of the Bible can fully miraculously heal you just like he has healed me. But I'm a fan of therapy. I'm a fan of cognitive behavioral therapy. I'm a fan of medicine. I'm a fan of doctors. I'm a fan of science. You know, when you're so done and so lost at the downside point of it, you would literally do anything. I've tried everything, Avery. I've literally tried everything. What do I got to lose? And if you're asked, any person who's a follower of Jesus, they would tell you that. They're such in a low point of a hole. But once they found Jesus, they had everlasting life and hope in him. And I realized that religion and that is not for everyone. And that's okay. But I encourage you guys, if you're so lost and so down in the moment, nothing's working, give it a shot. And maybe, who knows, you'll be surprised.
Yeah, I appreciate you sharing your experience, just because, well, from a non-religious person's perspective, I know that, I just know in general that faith can be really helping and healing for a lot of people who do have mental health challenges. So it's nice to hear that you do have that balance of like you have your faith, but you also, you know, sought the professional assistance like when you needed it. So I'm grateful for your perspective and for sharing that. So now on a kind of to end things on a positive note, what are you looking forward to in the future?
I'm looking forward to more change in our laws for kids with autism. I'm looking forward to a day where our school psychologists will be valued, teachers will be valued, and to help us be different on the autism. I long for the days where there will be more resources for kids with autism than the vice versa. I long for those days. And you could call me naive, but I fully believe that. Those are some of the things I look forward to.
Yeah, that's awesome. I look forward to them now as well. Now that I know your story and your experience, I think you've definitely opened my eyes to some of the deeper issues within our education system. So I'm so grateful that we had a chance to chat and have you on the podcast. Where can people go to learn more about you or find resources on autism? Feel free to share anything that you'd like.
Yeah, so my Instagram is Stephen He 2. That is S-T-E-P-H-E-N He 2. I don't post a lot, but you can DM me. You can talk more. I'm more than happy to schedule a Zoom call with you to talk more about my faith. In terms of where you can find me, there's a web page you can find me. I also invite anyone here that is interested. You can cut this out if you don't want to share this, Avery. My church will be going back to 11 a.m. service over at the Campbell Community Center. We do have an Instagram page. It's Bold Church SV. That's the app. And I hope one day you come join me, hang out with me. And I really do think, and one of the things that we do say in our church is that you could belong long before you believe. And I fully believe that. I've seen that as a member of my church. I've seen that from other people's testimonies. And if you do happen to listen to this podcast and do check the church out because of this podcast, please, by all means, come say hi to me. Well, you don't have to say hi to me, but do come say hi to me. Come say hi to me. I'll show you around. Thank you so much for having me on this podcast, Avery. It's been a long hope of mine to actually record one. So you checked off one of my bucket lists.
There you go. Well, thank you for being an advocate for people with autism. And I look forward to seeing all the wonderful things you do in the future. But thank you for being on the podcast, and we'll chat again soon.
Yep. Talk to you soon, Avery. Thank you so much.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for tuning into the To Be Honest podcast, brought to you by Momentum for Health. We're so happy to be able to share the personal behavioral health and wellness stories of youth and young adults in Santa Clara County. If you live in Santa Clara County and are in need of behavioral health assistance, please call 800-704-0900. You can also reach the Suicide and Crisis Lifeline 24/7 by dialing or texting 988. That's it for now, but we'll be back in just 2 weeks with another episode. Bye!